The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweiss, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Today's reading is from Epictetus's Discourses, Book 2, Chapter 18. Every habit and faculty is maintained and increased by the corresponding actions. The habit of walking by walking, the habit of running by running. If you would be a good reader, read. If a writer, write. But when you shall not have read for 30 days in succession, but have done something else, you will know the consequence. In the same way, if you shall have lain down 10 days, get up and attempt to make a long walk, and you will see how your legs are weakened. Generally, then, if you would make anything a habit, do it. If you would not make it a habit, do not do it, but accustom yourself to do something else in place of it. Okay, so the inspiration for making today's episode comes from two sources. One is the fact that this is the beginning of Elul, and in fact, I recorded this episode on Rosh Chodesh Elul and was not happy with the recording, tried it again, wasn't happy with that, so I decided to leave it for today. So I apologize that I'm not getting this out at Rosh Chodesh. The second reason is because I just started reading a new book on habits, which I'm going to talk about later on. But before we do that, I want to correct an impression that a person could get from the Stoics, which I think Epictetus corrects here, but something that is very easy to fall into. Stoicism puts a lot of emphasis on changing your emotions and your behavior through your mind and through your will. And I think it would be easy to think that that is the only way that they advocate changing behavior, or the primary way. And that's simply not true. As we see from Epictetus here, he talks about the importance of action and establishing habits and monitoring your habits in order to take stock of who and what you actually are. So this is true of Epictetus. According to Ryan Holiday, this is also true of Marcus Aurelius and Seneca. Both of them, according to him, were creatures of habit. I couldn't find offhand, I didn't really search, but I couldn't find any excerpts from the writings offhand to supplement this with, but we'll take his word for it because he's an expert on Stoicism. So I wanted to just voice this because I think that this was a mistake that I fell into during my my Torah upbringing of thinking of really underrating the role of habit cultivation in a person's development and perfection. I think I put too much stock in changing just through knowledge, and thinking that if you just get the ideas clear, then your emotions and your behavior will change automatically, because that's what my Rebbe, Rabbi Moskowitz, used to say. And it is true, it's just that there are ways to accelerate it. So that's the Stoicism part of this. But now let's shift to the practicality and to Elul. So as I mentioned, we're beginning Elul, and even though Teshuva is always relevant, the month of Elul is a particularly good time to engage in teshuvah and in ending bad habits and starting new habits, because the entire Jewish nation is involved in this, and we have our Yom HaNoraim, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim coming up in 28 days. And, what day am I going to publish this? Oh, we'll decide later, whatever. In less than a month, Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim is coming up, and then Yom Kippurim. So this is a great time to start working on habits. But the question is, where do you start? So I want to recommend two books. The first book I can recommend based on experience. The second book is something I'm reading now. So the first book is called Atomic Habits by James Clear. I read this last year at this time, and it was transformative. It helped me to change a bunch of my own habits. I taught it at Lomdeha in conjunction with the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, in terms of linking the strategies in Atomic Habits with certain principles in Hilchos Teshuvah of the Rambam. A lot of good stuff there, very practical. If you read it and you even get only a handful of practical things, then it's a worthwhile read. It's a very, very quick read as well. So that book I have read and used and have recommended before. The book I'm reading now is called Tiny Habits, The Small Changes That Change Everything by B.J. Fogg. This I'm only three chapters into it. But so far, it's very good, and it was recommended by a friend whose recommendations I highly value. So I feel comfortable recommending it now, just based on what I've seen so far. So just to give an example, I wanted to try to find an example of something that really is endorsed by both authors. And so I'm going to talk about something that James Clear calls habit stacking and BJ Fogg calls the ABCs of tiny habits. So I'm actually going to start with BJ Fogg because I think it's the more all-encompassing framework. So he says at the very beginning of the book, and this is on page 12 maybe. Yeah, on page 12. The section, The Anatomy of Tiny Habits. So he says basically you can reduce the entire approach of tiny habits to three steps, which are represented by A, B, and C. A is what he calls the anchor moment, B is the new tiny behavior, and three is the instant celebration. Okay, so what is the anchor moment? So anchor moment is you take an existing routine or an event that happens and you attach a behavior to it as a prompt. Okay, so he gives the example, an existing routine like brushing your teeth or an event that happens like a phone ringing. Okay, step two is the behavior. And again, as the title suggests, the main chiddush, the main innovation of this method is tiny habits. Okay, is that instead of trying to tackle these gigantic habits, you take the habit that you want to start and you reduce it to something extremely simple. So the example he gives is flossing one tooth or doing two push-ups. And I think later on in the book he says that he basically attached the habit of flossing one tooth to brushing his teeth. So he would brush his teeth and then immediately after brushing his teeth, he would floss one tooth and that's it. And then I believe he says later on in the book, he just mentioned in passing that every time he went to the bathroom, then he would do two push-ups afterwards. And the idea is that oftentimes the hardest part of cultivating a new habit is starting it. So the idea is that you reduce the habit to the point where it's so easy to do that there's no resistance to doing it. And since you're linking it to a behavior that you're already engaged in, then you don't need to cultivate a new prompt or just hope that you do it out of nowhere. So those are the two examples he gives. And then obviously you increase the behavior at a later time and until it's where you want it. I'll give examples of this in a little while. And then the third step is instant celebration. BJ Fogg's emphasis, which I haven't read these chapters yet, is that you should make the cultivation of new habits something that is rewarded and is pleasurable instead of punishing yourself for failing. So I'm going to give a couple examples of this. Oh, and I mentioned, sorry, habit stacking is what James Clear calls the first step, which is the formula for habit stacking is after I blank, I will do blank, where the first blank is a habit you're already doing, and the second habit is something that you want to do. Or a variation on that is is instead of doing the new habit after the old one, you interpose the new habit between the old one. In other words, you make it an obstacle that you have to get through in order to get to the old habit. So I'm going to give you a couple examples of this from my own life where I've had success. So example number one is that I'm horrible when it comes to exercise. Eating healthy, never been a problem. Exercise, always been a problem. So I wanted to get into the habit of just doing some basic exercises at some point in the day. And I found that I just was never able to do it. So what I decided to do was I decided to do a habit stacking and to use the interposition strategy where what's one thing I do every single morning, I put on my glasses. So I figured what I should do is as soon as I get up, before I put on my glasses, and this is really for me, I know for some people this would be horrible, but before I even wake up, like I'm talking almost as soon as I wake up, literally as soon as I get out of bed, before I put on my glasses, I made myself do, I believe I started off with five push-ups and five sit-ups. Okay. And I did that for a week. And then I put on my glasses and I just made it into a rule that I'm not going to put on my glasses until I've done five push-ups and five sit-ups. And after doing that for a week, I increased it to 10. And then I increased it to 15 and so on and so forth. And I've been doing it for a long time. I have not continued to increase it. I did stop at a certain point, but I did add on other exercises such as squats and planking. And I'm sure I'm gonna add more at some point. The point is that I started tiny and that I created an anchor in a habit that I already did. I stacked the habit. I have a habit of putting on my glasses and I I stacked the new habit of morning exercises on top of that. And I did it at a time when my resistance would be the lowest, which is right when I wake up, because as soon as I actually start my day, then there are more excuses. But you know, the combination of not being able to see and also doing it when I'm groggy made it so I can get it over with quickly. Another example of this is a favorite example, because when I was teaching this to Lumdeha last year, I mentioned we did some habit workshopping, and I said one of the habits that I want to get into is drinking a full glass of water right when I wake up. And the problem is that I have coffee when I wake up. And so what would happen is I would smell the coffee, I would pour my cup of coffee. Sometimes I would even pour the water, and sometimes I would even sip the water, but then I would forget to drink the water. And I would just drink the coffee, and then that would be it, you know? So I posed this question to my students and said, how can we use habit stacking to, to solve this? Because clearly it wasn't working for me to drink the coffee, then the water, and I needed a method. So again, the interposition method worked well. James Clear had a better name for it, but my student Leah suggested, she said, why don't you take the coffee mug that you're going to use for your coffee, and before you fill it with your coffee, fill it with water so that you have to drink your coffee before you get to the water. Okay. So, that worked brilliantly. And it's worked every morning since. So that's another method, another example. Let me give you one that's not an interposition example. So this is something, so for a very, very long time, I struggled. I wanted to get into some sort of like Yomi program for halakha, some daily halakha learning program. And because I love Rambam, I wanted to do Rambam Yomi. The problem with these Yomi programs is that they can be very time-consuming and intimidating, where if you miss one day, now you suddenly have to catch up and do two full chapters and then three, and then you finally just give up, you know? So I did this Rambam Yomi for a while where I was trying to do a chapter a day. Didn't work. So this is long before I read Atomic Habits, and certainly before I read Tiny Habits. So what I did was I did a habit stacking with davening, which was that I learned, as soon as I put away my tefillin and my tallis, I would learn Rambam, okay? And what did I do is I knew that if I tried to do a chapter a day, then that would be too long. And I also knew that if I tried to do just a set routine of going through in order, then once I hit the boring patches, you know, Hilchos Eruvin or something like that, then I would stop. So what I did was I made the behavior easier. And this is one of BJ Fogg's strategies is if it's too hard, simplify it, make it easier and easier and easier, right? That's the flossing one tooth. So what I did was I said, I'm going to make a rule of learning either two halachos a day, two halachos a day, half a perek a day, or a full perek a day. And I will learn it in any area that I'm interested in or that I'm currently learning in another capacity. So let's say I'm learning, you know, Gemara Brachos, I would do the Rambams on that. Or let's say I'm doing, Hilchos, I don't know, let's say it's Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, and I'll do Hilchos Tshuva, you know? So every day, as soon as I was done and put away my tefillin, that was my prompt. And then I would open the Rambam, and I would do at minimum two halachos a day. Now, the reason why I gave myself the option of doing either two halachos a day, a half perek or a full perek, is that I knew that constitutionally I was able to do a full perek, but I didn't want to make it a burden. So I gave myself the out of an easy option of two halachos, and that way I would never be able to rationalize that away and say, oh, I can't do two halachos. And what would often happen is I would do two halachos and then say, oh, you know what, the perek is short, I'll do half a perek. And sometimes I would say, you know what, I'm going to do the full perek. So it by starting off tiny and attaching it to a pre-existing habit, I was able to persist, and I learned a ton of Rambam that way. Until I switched to Aruch HaShulchan Yomi and did that for a full year, and then quit telling myself I was going to start another Yomi to replace it, and I still haven't done that yet. But that's another story. Maybe that's something I should work on for Elul. So anyway, I just wanted to give you these the Stoic spiel on habits, and just recommend these two books: Atomic Habits, recommending based on experience; Tiny Habits, based on how good it looks so far and on the person who recommended it. That is it for today's episode. If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeweis. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt Schneeweis, and my Zelle and PayPal are mattschneeweis@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor a day's or a week's worth of content, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweis@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.